Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Wake up, everybody out there. This is Think Thursday. We're going to do this a little bit different. That's the way we're going to do this today. But if this is Think Thursday, we're going to give you some reminders. And remember, but I want to remind you to register for September 26th, virtual, no cost, for diabetes. Defeat diabetes. You want to go to www.diabetesgoldenticket.com/Linda, September 26th, for this wonderful event. It's educational, it's informational. You want to find out what you need to do to unlearn, to learn, to live. Dr. Linda Davis, okay, September 26th, that's my reminder for you today. We're going to do this show a little bit different, okay?
Break it up with Linda
Mitchell. Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy Jam. Yeah. Ooh. Break it up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want
it.
Break it up.
We give, showing others how to live.
We share and care with love all through the land.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Jam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Break it
we
up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from. You are waking up with Linda Mac Chan. This show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, a nonprofit organization that has skill advisors, and consultants to help you reach your goal in education, workshops, understanding, and focusing definitely on our youth. We want our youth to be triumphant in the year of 2023. We'd like to say hello to Japan, United Kingdom, Canada, South Korea, and many more out there. Welcome in to Cross Country Connect, our first Cross Country Connection coming in from Arkansas today. We will have Karen Bird, life coach, coming in, sharing with us this evening. Before we get started, when you listen to her words, her stories, her suggestions, you will be making this type of statement. We'd like to welcome you in to Cross Country Connection.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad. It's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad. I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back, God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy, I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me. It took a long when you're wrong. If I walk a little taller, I've been under you too long. If you notice that I'm different, I'm thinking personal things. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. It ain't bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Oh, it took a long
to welcome in my friend, Karen Bird, life coach. She's going to talk about expression today. You know, when we stop speaking all things in, continue to speak on things that matter. Karen Bird is going to show you how to do that with her stories, her words, and her suggestions. She's the best in the country. Take note. Get your pen and pad out. Karen Bird, we'd like to welcome you in. Hello, hello, all the way from Arkansas in our Cross Country Connect segment. Hello, KB.
Hi, Linda. Miss Linda, I'm so glad to hear your voice. It's been a while, and we went through the whole holiday without connecting like this, and I'm so excited that we're back in the new year.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. 2023 is you and me, and we'd like to welcome you back again. I got my pencils and pads out. I have no idea of where you're going to go, but I know it's something that's going to be very educational, very spiritual, and very, very helpful. So I'm just going to sit back over and let you get going. We got time. We got time.
Okay.
So take your time.
Well, you know me. Yeah, you know me. I've always got something on my mind. And since the last time we talked, we've been doing these podcasts cross country, every month or every 2 months or so, depending on when we can find the time. Excuse me. And the latest sort of idea that has been sort of mulling around in my head, and I'm wanting to get it out and really look at it and think about it and talk about it. And these podcasts, of course, give us the opportunity to kind of explore new ideas and figure them out together. And I always like how we do this, because I'll start with a general direction and some key points and some things that I've looked at or studied or that I've thought about. And then I'll invite you in. And Miss Linda, you always, always expand on my ideas and the things I'm learning. And I love that journey that we take together, because if y'all hear me typing, it's because I have some notes in front of me at the computer, but I'm also listening and writing in truly what becomes a collaboration between Miss Linda and I. And when we finish with our podcast, I also save these thoughts in written form and post them and publish them on my blog, which is at KarenBird.com, which is my life coaching website and the place where I like to keep these ideas and share them with other people. So when we're talking about, I think you said expression, it's about self-expression. It's about expressing yourself. And so I know that I ramble, and I always ask listeners to just hang with me, because I sort of free flow these ideas, trying them on out loud for the first time on the podcast. But first I want to start with, have you ever heard the old expression, find yourself? You know, we hear this a lot, find yourself. Find yourself, and you see this on book titles. You see, you know, gurus talking about finding yourself, find your true north, find your passion, find your purpose, find yourself. I'm offering sort of a juxtaposition today that the self is not something that one finds. I'm starting with the sort of this assumption or this premise that the self is something that one creates. So let's go with that idea. Self, when I say self, I mean expressing your true self. So first of all, by definition, I would say self-expression is about communicating your individuality. And because I'm a life coach, I would add to that, it's about finding the courage to be who you really are, not finding yourself necessarily. It's about, to be more specific, it's about finding the courage to be who you really are. And it's about actively seeking to share the best parts of yourself, the parts that I call your gifts, with the world. So there's my premise. Why wouldn't you want to do this? I mean, why wouldn't it be natural for every human being on the planet to want to give the fullest expression of you or yourself to the world? Why wouldn't we want to do that? You'd be surprised at how many people do not, well, maybe you wouldn't be surprised at how many people do not give the fullest expression of themselves to the world. So what am I saying here? Well, let me backtrack a little bit. In my coaching practice, I talk about how every person is a genius. I believe this, truly do. I believe that each of us is endowed from the moment we enter the world with a unique contribution to make, a purpose for being on the planet, if you will. And I also believe that to hoard this or to not share your gift or your genius with the world or to not help realize your full potential is kind of a tragedy. So that sounds a little dramatic. Am I saying you've wasted your life if you don't share your genius with the world? Are you with me so far?
I'm with you. I'm listening, I'm writing, I'm following.
Okay.
And when you say, or if we don't realize our potential and share it, you know, and to find yourself, you have to know who you are, Professor Bird, in order to recognize what you need to do and recognize the geniuses in others.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It all starts with you. It starts from within.
Yep.
So it's just
right.
Like.
So that's what we're talking about. That's right.
Okay.
So we always do this. We're talking about the inner work of understanding who you are and understanding what your genius is and sharing that with the world. And that is a conscious effort. It's a conscious, like I said, it's something you create. It's not something that just lays there. You have to do something to share your genius with the world.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
Let me keep going. Does sharing your genius have to be a grand gesture? It does have to be something big that you do, or do you have to become famous, or do you have to gain notoriety for this? I'm just asking the question, and I think the answer is no, not necessarily. So for those listeners who are thinking, what do you mean if I, you know, waste my full potential that I'm not, you know, making a difference in the world, or that I'm just, you know, not living my purpose means I'm kind of wasting my life. So I'm not saying this has to be a grand gesture. I am talking about the process of creation and self-expression, which is taking some of that genius and allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to get your things, whatever that is, or your talent, whatever that is, your ideas, whatever that is, your artwork, whatever that is, your music or whatever that is, or whatever the creative thing is, it's like getting inside your head so you can get things out of your head and into the world. Okay, so
yeah.
So what I want to talk about first is why do people have difficulty unleashing their true potential? And the answer is we hold ourselves back. Psychologists over the decades have researched, written, and talked about the, and you've probably heard this word before, inner critic that we all have inside us. Inner critic that stops us or that slows us down or that plagues us or that weighs on us. Over the years through modern psychology, psychologists have given different names to this inner critic. The inner critic has also been called the superego. Cognitive behavior therapists call it the ANTs or the automatic negative thoughts. ANTs stands for automatic negative thoughts. Christian theology even calls this voice in your head the devil, the thing that tries to stop you. Essentially, it's that voice in your head that constantly criticizes, belittles, judges, or otherwise hampers you. So I'm just going to stop there and then say that the reason I'm bringing this all up today is because it came into focus for me through, besides what you and I have been talking about in past podcasts, Linda, that I've also, since last time we talked, started studying the work of psychologist Phil Stutz. Okay, so I became aware of Phil Stutz, that's S-T-U-T-Z. I became aware of his ideas because they were featured in a film that one of his patients or clients, the filmmaker and actor Jonah Hill, made about him. Jonah Hill made a documentary about Phil Stutz and his ideas. The film is currently on Netflix. I think it's still showing. I highly recommend that any of your listeners watch it and also potentially read his book, which is called The Tools. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But this idea of using the tools is kind of revolutionary for people who haven't gone into therapy or life coaching, but for those of us who've been sort of living in this world of self-exploration and personal growth, his ideas are not unfamiliar. In fact, they're very familiar, but they're very accessible. So seeing it in a full-length documentary film for something you really don't have to pay for, as long as you have a Netflix subscription or some way to get the movie, is like getting 2 hours of pretty great therapeutic tools for self-discovery and personal growth. I love it. When I saw this, I felt like it was revolutionary. I was like, oh, Jonah Hill made a movie about life coaching. This is awesome. So anyway, using the tools, which is what Phil Stutz calls his ideas, he helps his patients and clients. A lot of them are movie stars or really famous people. So what he does is help people get unstuck or overcome their self-limiting behaviors and beliefs. That's life coaching, right? That's what we do. Although he is under the umbrella of psychology, but they're related. Just that I'll talk about that in a minute too. So anyway, I wanted to talk about this one concept today. Stutz calls this chronic enemy, the one that I was calling the inner critic, or, you know, the automatic negative thoughts or the superego. Other psychologists have called it these things. Stutz calls this chronic enemy inside you your part X. Okay, so I said he has these ideas. He actually draws them, and when he talks about them, he makes them very accessible. So imagine part X is a part of your person, but it is related to this shadow personality you have, the one that is inside you that constantly is negative or tells you negative things about yourself. But because you're aware of it inside your head, it is separate, and so he teaches people how to identify part X, address it, and use this shadow or the part X, the part that holds you behind, to your benefit. He suggests that by getting in touch with this chronic self-criticism, you can let go of the past. So while a lot of people in therapy, or a lot of therapists actually, will revisit your past, and the tradition has been to examine your past and to try to find the why of why you're stuck, or you know, why you feel the way you do, or why you don't feel like you can move forward, or why you feel kind of sick inside, that's all kind of being thrown out the window. I hate to say it, but I feel like traditional psychology, except for cognitive behavior therapy and some talk therapy that actually help you get in touch with your part X or whatever, that what we're really trying to do is help you learn how to recognize these parts of you and to start from there and then take action to overcome these drags. So why is it that it seems we're our own worst enemy? When someone says, you are your own worst enemy, what do you think of? Have you ever heard that expression? You are your own worst enemy. I know I have.
I know I have.
You've heard it?
Yes, you are. And you begin to understand, Professor Berg, that you are your worst enemy, because you have to sit back and dig deep and understand you know more you talk about you than anybody else. So why would blame it on something else? It's actually you.
Right.
Okay? Nobody else knows what's ticking on the inside of you.
That's right. So exactly. So if you've heard this, or you might believe that sometimes you can be your own worst enemy, and I've thought about this question most of my life, but I don't think I've ever really tried to define it or write about it. So in going through this Stutz book, I'm actually reading his book, saw the movie, and I'm excited about it, and it fits with some of the things that I work with clients on, but one of the things he says is to identify the problem. So one of the problems is, and why we're our own worst enemies, is that we tend to hang on to things.
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature. It's human nature to blame, to mull, to dwell. And this staying stuck, I'm going to name it, childlike stance of blaming your past. Mm-hmm. It's childlike. And for people who are going through the process, I don't mean that one day you magically wake up, somebody waves a magic wand, and you're an adult. But each of us has these childlike tendencies to fall into these old patterns, and it's a constant struggle as an adult to overcome them. So by labeling part X, Stutz and his collaborator Barry Michaels say, it elevates you into emotional adulthood. In other words, you can be aware of how the past affected you, but being aware is just the first step. The second step is you're determined to take responsibility for who you are in the present. So how do we do this? The author suggests that you call out part X. When you call, in other words, you name it, you say, I see what you're doing, I see what you're trying to do, but I'm not falling for it because I can act. I can do. So when you call out part X, you activate the most powerful weapon you have as a human being. And that is, and this is, maybe we want to write this down, the most powerful weapon you have as a human being is the will to change your thoughts, feelings, and behavior right now. Yeah. And I know you and I have talked about this before. We talk about this a lot. But consistently calling out part X does something else for you, and this is the point of my bringing it into our discussion today. It activates, consistently calling out part X also allows you to activate your soul. And when I say soul, I'm going to define soul for this purpose, for today's discussion, as the avatar of creative forces. Stutz has labeled this, and I think that's what helps make his book and his way of teaching so helpful to people. Because if you think about your soul as the avatar, in other words, it's standing in for you, it's almost like a supernatural force. It's almost like a supernatural power you have to draw on higher creative forces in the universe. Now you're you, but when you activate that inner part of you that really is your soul, that's the highest expression of who you are as a human being, you are calling on this avatar of creative forces. So we're talking about self-expression. We're talking about the beautiful things that come out of you because you're uniquely you. We're talking about contributing and making your genius present in the world and sharing it with other people. So we're talking about it being the avatar of creative forces. So many of us, sadly, silence our creative forces, and not always on purpose. But there are things we do to sabotage ourselves, or things that we do, and I'm not talking about mental illness. I can't really get into and don't know how this works with actual state, neurological or emotional distress, things like depression, anxiety, mental illness. I'm not really sure how this fits, but we're talking about a generally otherwise healthy brain and an otherwise healthy person can use their life force to overcome part X, overcome that inner critic. So part X today, draw a line, part X is put my Eunice on one side of the piece of paper. Draw it. My Eunice, Karen-ness, Linda-ness, over here on this one side, draw a line and put part X there in the middle. And then on the other side of the line, put my potential. So part X, if we're drawing it, part X is what's standing between me and my potential. Part X is what's standing between you and your potential. Okay, so I felt really excited when I heard and saw that there were psychologists who had discovered the essence of life coaching, even though they didn't call it that. I was watching this movie, it's called Stutz, on Netflix, and my jaw dropped. Linda, I was sitting there watching this on Netflix going, who is this guy and why is he talking from, you know, the church of life coaching, even though he's not a life coach, and how does he know this stuff? Well, he's got a book. He took his ideas, and the book is called Coming Alive, Tools to Defeat Your Inner Enemy, Ignite Creative Expression, and Unleash Your Soul's Potential, which, of course, spoke to me 100% because that is really what life coaching does for you. It helps you recognize these things and then give you tools to help get on your way and stick with some of the programs that you can. So I heard Stutz and his partner Michael talking about the tools they use, but I also, and they're helpful, the book is helpful, but I believe that's really just the tip of the iceberg of all the tools that life coaches have at their disposal. I feel like these guys, Stutz and Michael, certainly have made a contribution to the field. And like I said, I was just overjoyed, just over the moon, to see an actor, Jonah Hill, be so vulnerable and, in fact, use some of his own life stories in the documentary, sitting there interviewing and talking with a psychologist to show how he got unstuck. It was almost like sitting through a coaching session, but it wasn't really, because Jonah Hill, the filmmaker, was interviewing Stutz about his tools, but also interjecting how the tools had helped him through their work together. It was like getting a glimpse inside, changing someone's life, giving someone the power of transformational change in their life by presenting certain concepts in a certain way that helps them turn a corner or do something they didn't think they could do. And, you know, and I, as I was watching it, I was also thinking, well, there are a lot of philosophies and approaches to personal transformation. And certainly, you know, Christianity is big on and has a really great program for helping people transform their minds. I'm familiar with it. And the Bible and all that Christianity teaches, and not just Christianity, but I'm most familiar with that, but most of the major religions in the world have these principles and practices to help people not just change and transform their mind, but change the way they live their lives, right? So this is kind of like the agnostic version of that, if you will. It's not involving a God, but Stutz talks about higher power and talks about a metaphysical presence that even though you can't see it, you can draw upon it to help you. And I guess I'm a spiritualist. I'm not a former Christian, but I think I'm more of a spiritualist. I wouldn't call myself related to any one religion, but I feel like I understood what he was saying, and he was calling it something different, and it was more accessible to more people. I think outside of a church, if you think of it that way. So again, and honestly, I had some friends watch it, and they were familiar with Buddhism, and they said, "Oh, this is like Buddhism." And I was like, "Really? I didn't know." So, but what I want to say about that is that it is helpful for people to understand some of the ways that you start to think about how your own transformation or your own ability to draw upon your you-ness, I call it your you-ness, he doesn't call it that, drawing upon your you-ness and sharing it with the world, what can you start to do with that? So I have a couple of questions just to kind of get us starting to think about this. So coaching type questions would be like this. In what ways do you believe you are not living up to your potential? We don't have to answer that today, but it's just something to think about, or if anybody wants to write it down and start to think about what they mean to them personally, or if they're thinking about it while I'm asking the question. So here's the question. What ways, you know, do you believe that you're not living up to your potential? How might what Stutz and Michael's called Part X be working to stop your progress? For example, do you experience feelings of inadequacy, or chronic worry, or procrastination, or moodiness? How might those things that you could identify as like uniquely your Part X be working to stop your progress? Okay, I want to label a couple of things now. What are the pitfalls of Part X? So in other words, what human tendencies put us in this hole that allows us to get stuck, that allows us to believe that Part X, which is a part of us, power over our lives, it puts us in this hole where we don't do anything. We don't fulfill our, remember the picture, my units on one side, Part X is in the middle, and my full potential is on the other. So what are the pitfalls of that Part X? If you've drawn the picture, maybe we could write some of these things on that line where part X is. Okay, one could be, just saying, here are just some of the definitions. One could be self-gratification. This is mm-hmm. uniquely human. This is where we give into impulses and short-term indulgences. We see this a lot with people who think, oh, God, I'm too fat. I need to diet. I need to change the way I eat. So they get a spurt of energy and commitment and focus, and then they start dieting. And then the first time that they have a, what do they call that, a setback or whatever, then they just stop and say, I knew I was going to fail. I knew it. So they fall back in the hole. Okay, so that might be one. That's just one example. Like okay, so first one, self-gratification. Second pitfall, lethargy. Lethargy, again, I don't know if this is classic depression, but lethargy is related to not having enough energy, and that results in withdrawing from life's demands. It results in tasks being undone. It results in losing touch with people, and it results in allowing opportunities to pass you by. Lethargy is one of the big symptoms that we saw during the pandemic. People withdrawing from life's demands, tasks remaining undone, losing touch with people, allowing opportunities to pass you by. Now, that was because we had to quarantine and we had to, you know, create some solitude and disconnection so that we wouldn't get sick. But lethargy is like this huge, it's a huge hole. It's really hard to crawl out of a lethargic state. Okay, so here's the third one. Demoralization. Demoralization. So demoralization is when part X wants to convert normal discouragement into hopelessness. So you'll quit trying, and give up on the things that are most important to you. Well, I might as well fill in the blank. I might as well, it's like where you just, it's not just discouragement. It's like, I quit, I won't ever go back. So can you think of an example where maybe you got to a point, let's say somebody tried out for a sports team, didn't make the team, and then decided never to try again, or just, you know, quit all sports.
I basically see it. Yeah, I see it every day. I hear it every day, you know, in having dialogue and meeting with people. It saddens me because you never, ever, ever give up, no matter what. You don't give up. But that is very hard to you have people where they are, okay? But, again, you have to know yourself. But all of this, all part X is to me, as you're speaking about it, is doubt.
Yep.
If you have doubt, you will never move out of that spot. And as you say, you know, people speak with one another. You know, you gave the example of Christianity and how that transformed. You talked about your Buddhist friends. We're very, very familiar because Buddhism deals with the universe, and everything is in the universe. Buddhism teaches you that to carry the highest life condition, and in order to get to that height, you have to really, really work on you, because there's a lot of things that part X is trying to talk to you. But when you begin to talk to yourself and understand the energy that's creating that lethargy, takes your energy, then your tasks will not get undone. So therefore, I'm going to go back to that never give up. No matter, you don't create hopelessness, because there's opportunity. Some religious or some philosophies believe in proper timing. See, everything is based on time. It might not be time for you to step off into that, but you have to understand timing. You have to understand not having any doubt, and you have to understand not giving up. And that's a hard task to do for someone who has been caught on to those things that have been taught to feed that part X, Professor Bird, you know, in your childhood, going back to those childlike stances. You don't do this. You're not that. We can't do this. All of those things are embedded in our lives, and it's up to us to be able to recognize and become aware of it and do whatever you have to do in whatever form you do it in is to pull up out of that, because that's a sure directive to total hopelessness.
Right.
So that part X, what is best is the stuff to talk about is very relatable. And anytime you can meet people where they are, okay, you have to meet them where they are. Nobody's going to think the same. No one is going to be perfect. None of us are perfect, and we all do things differently. But that stems right back to you. How do you view it? Because I don't expect you to feel the way I feel. I don't expect you to see the way I see. What we're going to come and do is have this dialogue. We're going to collaborate here, our minds, and see how we can change this. It's all about the change, but it's the inner change. So I like him. I'm going to read his book. I'm going to watch that because it's relatable.
Yeah, well, you know, you just hit on something else. That he's just addressing what's inside you as an individual, but there is the rest of the book is beautifully, he beautifully connects. Right now I'm just talking about you. But he beautifully connects how each person can only do their part. He calls it the string of pearls. You're a pearl. Everybody else is a pearl. But you are one pearl in the string of pearls. But all you can really focus on is keeping doing you as a pearl on the string of pearls. And if everybody on the string of pearls is doing that, we all get better. We rise into this higher level of enlightenment and collaboration and hope and not giving up and positive purpose in the world and all that stuff, which I love. I love that feeling. So let's go back. You always give me great segues. I do want to talk about what you just said about not crawling in or staying into that hole. So the four pitfalls were self-gratification. I think we got through three of them. Self-gratification, lethargy, demoralization. The fourth one, which is so familiar to me, is hurt feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Or unexpected injuries. And these often result in self-pity and self-righteousness. And really, when I read that, the first thing I thought was, well, he's talking about victimhood. And so, yes, when people fall into victimhood, that's a really hard hole to get out of. And you can stay there and stay there and stay there and never find your way out. So, continuing those thoughts, we're not saying it's a problem to experience these from time to time. Everybody falls into the hole of self-gratification or lethargy or demoralization or hurt feelings or unexpected injuries or whatever. We fall into these holes from time to time. It's not a problem to experience them. In fact, it's human. But what is a problem is if you let them get you down and stay down.
Yeah.
The solution is to climb out. And you said it wonderfully, Ms. Linda, when you said it's about never giving up. It's about understanding the timing that, in fact, I had I think I've talked about my spiritual director on the podcast before. She talks about allowing yourself to imagine what's working off the page at all times. The things that you can't see in the universe that are working on your behalf for your good. What's off the page? Just remember, there are things off the page. So that's faith. That's allowing for things to happen in their own timing. That's not instant gratification. It's allowing the universe to expand as it always will and always has and always, you know, can do. And then find yourself trusting in the process. And you said not having doubts. I think not having doubts, the opposite of that is having faith. And to use that word, I don't mean faith in a religious sense. I mean faith in terms of, I want to say choice. So let me keep going. So here's a couple of great quotes I wanted to share related to this idea of falling down. Confucius said, I love this quote, "Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall." Okay, that's one.
Yeah.
And And then taking that sort of the segue into the next part of the discussion, which is about self-expression. How does this all fit into self-expression? How does this play into self-expression? Why is it important to recognize these pitfalls? The reason it's important is because if you're down, if you're in that hole, it will be hard to keep yourself open and to choose. I'm going to type that in there, and to choose new experiences, talents, interests, passions, and opportunities.
Yes.
So here's two more quotes. Mahatma Gandhi said, quote, "I want freedom for the full expression of my personality." Maya Angelou, the great poet, said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you."
Mm-hmm.
She's a writer, of course, a poet and writer. And so there is no greater agony than bearing, B-E-A-R-I-N-G, an untold story inside you. Love both of those quotes. So for me, when it comes to self-expression, as I often talk about in the podcast, I have had to discover some of these concepts for myself. And there was something that happened for me when I was in my 30s. I'm now in my 60s. And honestly, I never heard anybody say this quote. For years, I've been telling it to myself. I honestly, if it was attributed to somebody or something like it, I don't know who said it. This was before the internet in the early 1990s. But in my 30s, in the early 1990s, I remember grabbing onto this and holding this as sort of my quote for my life. And I've used this so many times as a teacher, as a mentor, as a coach, in all the ways that I help other people when I tell them what I learned. Here's my quote. I'm going to attribute this to me. "Everything you need, comma, you already have inside you."
Yes.
Okay, and I'm sure somebody has said something similar. And if you search the internet, you may find something very similar to that. But the Karenberg quote, similar to what Gandhi said, "I want freedom for the full expression of my personality." Maya Angelou said, "There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you." Karenberg said, "Everything you need, you already have inside you." Karenberg, life coach. Okay, so why do I use this as my quote for life? I use this starting in my 30s because it was like a revelation. It was like something came down out of the clouds, and gave me the confidence I needed to start changing my life and start actively sharing my you-ness. And I can't say I found my purpose, but I at least allowed my Karen-ness to emerge, and I no longer kept it hidden, and I had more confidence in sharing that. And because my background in the career that I chose was being a writer, up until that point, I had been writing for other people, and I had been writing on computers, and we had Macintoshes even in 1984, you know, and I had been writing for marketing and communications pieces and articles and for public relations and all those things for, I don't know, the full 15 years before that in my early career. But I had not been, I'd been behind the page. I hadn't trusted myself to get out from behind the page and actually share some of my own ideas or to stand in front of a group and speak or to do what I ultimately did, which was training and coaching and on and on. So I say I tapped in my early 30s. I started tapping into my own soul and creativity and trusting my own knowledge and experience. And so the first time I ever did this, where I came out off the page or from behind the computer, I was 35 years old. This is about 1994. It was the first time I ever spoke in front of a group of coworkers. And I asked my boss at the time for the opportunity, 1994, I led my coworkers, it was the whole company, both in San Francisco and in Baltimore, Maryland. I led them through a creative and open-ended, it was unscripted and it thought it out and knew how I was going to do it. But I led a workshop activity for my coworkers at Telespectrum Worldwide. I thank Sherry Patera, my mentor at the time, who was a co-owner of that company, which we were based in San Francisco, and her partner was based in Baltimore, and I traveled across country to include, it was like an all-employee meeting, and I included all the employees in this process that I had asked her to let me conduct. And so I remember those feelings, and I remember that being a hallmark in my career up to that point because I was terrified. I'd never stood in front of a group, but I had prepared well, and I began to trust and draw upon this inner, I didn't have the inner critic working, but I certainly had the inner critic trying to stop me because, you know, the inner critic was saying, you can't do this. You've never taught. You've never run a workshop. You never facilitated an open-ended discussion. You've never trusted yourself to lead people through a creative process where you're going to ask them to help you co-create something on the fly, not knowing how it's going to turn out, not ever having tested it before, and not actually expecting it to be successful. I was terrified. But what happened was it worked, and I trusted the people who were in the group gathered before me that we could do this together.
Okay.
And I stood on my feet in front of that group in 1994 and was amazed and so overjoyed that when I gave them the prompts and asked them a few of the questions, what we were doing, actually I was creating, I was their marketing director, and I was advertisements that we were going to put in some of the trade publications to promote the services that we offered these various industries. And at the time, I pitched to my bosses, let's create the ads based on the knowledge that my coworkers have in working in these industries with these clients every day. So, for example, one of our clients, it was a telemarketing company, so it's a big call center, a bunch of call center clerks, people on the phone every day, all day, answering customer service calls, doing outbound telemarketing, you know, customer service, handling complaints, returning products, blah, 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 all the stuff that telemarketers do. And there were like 300 employees. And through the course of 2 days, I met with every single one of them in these large groups of, you know, 50, 100 or whatever. And we worked on Levi Strauss. We worked on an ad to tell the story of how we worked with Levi Strauss. We worked on an ad to talk about how we worked with Lipton, or it was one of the, yeah, I think it was Lipton. So several of these really big companies, product-based companies. And I gave them the suggestion of what the advertisements, where they'd be used, kind of what size they would be and how much room we had. And then I asked them to help me co-create, I mean, literally do the creative process that would result in an image and a headline. And then I told them, I showed them on the fly how the advertise, once they came up with one, the headline and the image, and we did this collaboratively, it was so fun, I actually wrote the ad standing there giving them the copy. Well, then the copy was said, that's perfect, let's do that one, and I drew it on the whiteboard. That looks like this. This is the headline, and here's what the copy will say, blah, blah, blah. And I showed them how we create advertisements. And I had asked my bosses before I started this, I said, now, if we do this, if we go into this open-ended, we're taking up, you know, 2 hours of your time or whatever during the busy workday, because marketing has asked you to help co-create these ads for our advertising campaign, which is going to be nationwide, they have to be able to see some of their ideas executed. And so I want to be able to go back to them if some genius in the room or some combination of geniuses in the room helps me come up with the perfect ad and the perfect call to action to try to get more clients like this. I want them to kind of get credit for it. And my bosses are like, well, go for it. And so I just remember how terrifying it was, not knowing if it was going to work. But because it proved my point, even then, I was only 35 years old. I didn't know this would work, but even then I saw it and trusted that there were geniuses and that if I had everything I needed inside me, they had everything they needed inside them, and all we had to do was bring it together in a group and something beautiful would come from it. Okay,
well,
so it worked.
Professor Byrd, you talking about terrifying, you're a pretty good terrifier yourself because taking your class in marketing as we all started, you know, you would lay those requests out there and those assignments out there. So through your being terrified and terrifying everybody else, we made things come into fruition, setting up partnerships and not knowing what to do. But when you can with someone, we know how to turn those doorknobs, go in there and lay out the largest partnerships that no one else can touch. And it was because of, I guess, your experience in being terrified, bringing everybody together, getting opinions of the persons that do it, making that collaboration mindset. It always goes that way.
I have to prepare a framework, but I don't produce the results. So that was, honestly, Linda, that was my first teaching assignment, even though I didn't know I was teaching at that time. But I was 35 years old. What the trainers call it is facilitating a workshop. I didn't even know it had a name. I just got up there and presented some ideas. And so I didn't know it, but I was activating my power, my charisma.
Yes.
And
yes.
All I knew, and I had gone through my own getting through my fear, and I was calling that era of my life, you're going to laugh at this, but I was calling that era of my life my why not me movement.
Yes, why not you?
So up to I graduated from college when I was 21, went to work right away. Here I am 14, 15 years later, and I came out from behind the computer on the page and said, why not me? I see other people stand in front of groups and, you know, giving themselves confidence to contribute something and to give and take and overcome their fear of contributing something in the world and standing up in front of 300 employees when I'm 35 years old and saying, why not me? From there, that was the very first time I remember becoming empowered to share my Karen-ness, as I call it now. And now, 30 years later, I'm here to share with our audience that Stutz, this guy's book, and again, I've been doing this stuff sort of intuitively all these years, but this guy in his book calls it, and I felt like the light bulb went off, he calls it trusting your inner authority. I love that he named it. It's called your inner authority.
Yes.
So my you-ness, your you-ness, this creativity, this expression, self-expression comes from your own power. And it comes from trusting your inner authority, and it comes from wanting to, get ready, everybody. It comes from wanting to please yourself.
Yes.
And why do I say that? Because when you do it, when you share your you-ness, when I share my Karen-ness, or you share your Linda-ness, in a way, I'm usually talking about the workplace. Maybe this applies to relationships too, but when you do it to please someone else or to please society or to gain notoriety, you can lose your way.
Definitely.
So we're talking about staying in your unit and overcoming your insecurities, allowing yourself to do it and to ask for help when you need it. And I'm going to add something else I read in the book. Stutz says, and I want to go back and think about this. I really want to mold this statement because they didn't explain it in the book, but I stopped and I highlighted it. I went, what? He says, those who can't ask for help risk losing everything.
Yes. Yes.
And I went, what?
Yes.
What? What? Wait.
Yes.
How much time do we have? How much time do we have?
Don't rush.
Okay, I've got about 5 more minutes. So I do want to explore this idea that he said, you know, that it's important to do this for yourself, but be also willing to ask others for help when you need it, and those who can't ask for help risk losing everything. Sure about that? I've got to think about that some more. It kind of threw me off. But in life coaching terms, and I'll bring it back to me, it's about growing and learning. So I mentioned earlier this idea of choices. I think we're talking about choices. When we talk about active participation and activating your soul, the avatar of creation, I think if you consider that your life is a result of your choices,
Right.
Not your opportunity. And people, and I say that because I think a lot of times where we get hung up is we think, well, I don't have the opportunity for that. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have opportunities. You have way more opportunities than you may recognize. And you have way more opportunities than you may see. You have way more opportunities than you actually will get off your butt to create. But the point
mm-hmm.
is, you're always going to have way more opportunities in life, but you have to choose or take advantage of them. You
yes.
will have more than you can say yes to, and there will be a
yes.
lot that you can say no to, and there will be a lot that you can say, thank you, I'll pass. But
right.
the point of this whole discussion is you've got to put yourself out there, because what is at stake if you never put yourself out there? Now, I have family members. I'm so different from everybody in my family. I spent Thanksgiving and Christmas with them. But my family members think I'm ridiculous for striving all the time and putting myself out there and for trying to grow and change and be a better version of myself. They think it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They think that it's just a waste of time, and I think it's very self-centered and very self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is my belief system and my value system is completely different. I think that what's at stake if you never put yourself out there is that you never really allow yourself to express or reveal yourself in a truthful, genuine way without
right.
caring about, without caring about other people's approval. So I don't need my family's approval anymore to express yeah. myself and to be a life coach, to have a blog, to have a website, to have clients, to try to help people make a contribution to the planet. I don't
right.
have to care if they approve. They think I'm ridiculous. I don't care because I have made the choice. I've made the choice to reveal myself in a truthful, genuine way. And, oh, by the way, not really caring if other people approve and not even caring if they criticize me. You don't have to be an expert. You just show up. And that was That was the topic of our last podcast, which was showing up in your life.
Just
so
enough.
I think that self-expression allows you to speak with unusual clarity and authority.
Yes.
And self-expression can also allow you to get in the zone like an athlete does. Self-expression
yes.
can help you showcase your true self. As Maya
yes.
Angelou said, self-expression can allow you to tell your story. Thank
yes.
God. Self-expression can allow you to share your feelings and emotions. You
yes.
can express yourself through words, through clothing, through hairstyle, through art forms, such as writing, drawing, music, and dance. You can express yourself as a life coach. You can express yourself as a blogger. You can express yourself in so many different ways. You can put yourself out there, offer your uniqueness
yes.
to the world. And
yes.
the self is something you create. Okay, so I mentioned earlier, the self is something you could create, but isn't that a contradiction? I also said, everything you need, you already have inside you. So if everything
yes.
I need, I already have inside me, how am I helping create myself?
Yes. Wow. Well, I'm understanding.
I'm just asking the question.
Yes. How
I'm just,
you
I'm just,
ask the question once again. Let me put it in frame here. You said, how do you?
Is it a contradiction if I said on the one hand, everything you need, you already have inside you, but I'm also asking you to consider that the self is something you create.
Yes. My affirmation, you talked about Gandhi, you talked about Maya Angelou, that is my favorite. We're talking about different ones, and my statement is all my needs are met. There's no lack in the universe. There's no lack out there, meaning that, you know, it's already there. Your statement is how do you put it, you send it out there to make sure it begins and ends with you. Period. Thing begins and ends with you. When you made the statement, you don't care about the family opinion, you don't care, they think you this and that, I think I've carried those feelings ever since I was, I want to say, 4 years old. I have never had a problem expressing myself because it frees you up. to get that out of your system. It frees you up. You can't walk around thinking of things. I've learned as a as I grow wiser to pick the timing of it. You know, you might need to have a discussion, but it might not be at the proper time. It might be a celebratory moment for others, and you don't want to go in there and ruin that, but you still make sure that you pick a time to tell them that story. And most individuals in society are so hung up on what they feel or what everybody else thinks that they don't quite understand. Me, I don't care, okay? It's not that I don't care about the people. I don't care about your opinion because this is my creation. You see where I'm going with that? And you almost to have attitude with it because you have to shut a lot of people down because everyone can instruct and tell you how to do or what you should do. That is not their calling.
Yes.
That's not their calling.
And I will say this, there are outside critics, and it is, this is a pet peeve of mine. It is much harder to create something than it is to criticize it.
Yes,
so
it
I'm
is.
Talking about those of I'm talking about those of us who are doing the work and those of us who are putting ourselves out there and risking criticism because we are creators or co-creators working with other people co-creating. So I'm going to leave your audience with a couple of questions related to self-expression. Okay, here are the questions.
Okay.
And sometimes I have lists, but I'm going to do these as questions today. What are some ways you can express yourself?
Okay.
Number two, who do you want to share your you-ness with? Y-O-U-ness with. Three, what do you have, quote, inside you that you need to share with the world?
Okay.
Number four, what problem of the four pitfalls do you need to overcome? And then remember the four are self-gratification, lethargy, demoralization, hurt feelings, or victimization. What problem do you need to overcome? Number five, how will you get started today? And number six, what one step can you take now? And I will just close with this. When you start using your you-ness, expressing your genius, expressing your inner self, you can't stop doing it. It won't be enough. It won't be enough for you to read about or listen to people like us talk about these tools. You will have to use the tools. You will have to create. You will have to co-create. You will have to share your units in the world. And so I'm saying it's kind of addicting. Once you start using and allowing yourself this, you know, to draw on these forces, these greater forces in the universe that allow you to flow with creativity, that allow you to trust the process and not worry about the outcome, but just enjoy the process of creating and co-creating. It's so addicting. It is like the energy that connects us as human beings. It is the higher power that draws us to the best versions of ourselves. It is the love that is unconditional when we acknowledge the genius in one another. Amen.
Yes.
That was it. That was all I wanted to say today.
Well, you know what, Professor Bird, I something told me to extend this time out here because this was going to be a good one. Anything that you share with us, your words, your suggestions, your beautiful stories, your vulnerability, you know, that's what we're all about here. We come from the heart. Everyone that comes on this show, we move from our heart. So when you move from your heart, those other little things don't even matter, okay? That part X is there. You recognize it. I'm so glad you enabled it. I will be getting his book. I will look at that movie because it sounds like he's my kind of guy. We all have to do research out here from various things. That's what the problem is. We get stuck in that hole, and that's the way we did it, but we're going to keep on doing it. But I'm here to say it's new beginnings, and nothing will be done the same. And the best way we need to start is start with ourselves, you know, no matter what. You're going to have the chronic critics out there. You're going to have the complainers.
Right.
You're going to have the whiners. You're going to have the criers. And with me, I have to really work on me because I'm very out front and honest to you, okay, and will always be. I know how to go in. If I see you trying to open up my door and come in on me, I'm going to stop you. But I am learning through all of the events, through other people, through recognizing how to take that breath and summarize before I speak. I have no problem expressing. It's how I express. So my growth has been to recognize through this and to try to understand that you're never going to walk me and you're never going to demean me. And you're never going to disrespect me. Those are three things that keeps my freedom. So when I have experiences of that, I find ways of, okay, I'm not going to do this, but you're going to get told this story, and I'm out, okay? I'm out because I'm not a pretender. And I think when we talk about self-expression, where the blockage is people are pretending they're not being their true them, and they are being guided by society and what others think. And what you have shown us at this segment is, no, that is not the way to do it. But what can you do to express? What do you want to express? What's inside you need to change? What problems or pitfalls you need to overcome? How will I start and when will I start? It's just like when we speak of purpose, you know, I do that lecture on purpose. And a purpose is the who, the what, the when, and the how. And that's the way I break it down. Because what we think is purpose is really not purpose. And most people think that a purpose is something you can't buy it, they can't give it to you, and no one knows what it is but you. And it takes some digging to get it done. So this segment, our first cross country of 2023, it's been a pleasure to have you come on. I'll be listening to this over and over. We'll you know, get some information out there. I don't know where we're going to go next, but we can't let a month go by. You know, I love having you come on here because we need some direction. And you're here.
I know. And we always, and then this, you know, when I'm wandering through my head and trying to put these things on paper, something always comes out in our discussions too, where I go, oh, that'll be the topic for the next one. We usually kind of get a little piece or a little glimmer of what it is or what it might be. And while you were talking, I was listening and thinking about, I do want to go back and explore this idea, the one that I said, where the guy said, those who can't ask for help, like in other words, having an ego or, you know,
no.
Getting in your own way so much that you could potentially risk losing everything. I might want to explore that. What does it mean to turn away, you know, help to get out of your own way? Like, that's about disconnecting. That's about withdrawing. That's about, you know, basically checking out of life. And again, I don't want to enter into mental illness and depression, but for some people that actively choose, and not because they're depressed, but they just actively choose to let themselves down. And I just wrote while you were talking. See, Stess and Michaels called their book Coming Alive. I wrote down while we were finishing this up, I was kind of thinking the way to wrap this up is, if this is not a selfish deed, you know, self-expression is not being selfish. I would argue that achieving your best self is one of the most honorable missions you can have in life.
Yes.
So why do we neglect that? Don't neglect it. Start today.
Yes.
Make your life your mission. You know, make your you-ness, make your genius the goal of sharing your genius in the world your mission today.
Yes, and I'm with you on that. As you're writing, you know, I got 4 and 5 pages over here, and you know how we do things because we connect in and seg in this way. And, achieving your best self, you know, is the most honorable thing you can do. And as you were speaking it, I was feeling it, you know. And when you have to express yourself in order to move to your best self, it's a good thing, okay? It is a good thing. It's a good feeling, but it's all based on timing. This is the new beginnings. Persons are not doing what they used to do. You know, you got a lot of stuff going on. It just don't work anymore because it all begins and ends with you. And I'm finding that most people, and it's not a selfish thing. They're putting them ahead of the game. You know, like you said, you were writing marketing scripts and putting it out. Same with me. I'm organizational based, okay? So I'm in the community, so I'm there. I'm pushing you. I'm PRing your stuff, but now the PR is for me, okay? Because I have a lot to give out here, and I have a lot to share, and I intend to do it. And the method,
yeah,
yourself and the persons that come on with it is how it's done. And when you set that goal, you don't care what nobody say, okay?
That's
you
right.
don't care.
That's right.
You don't hear it because you're not supposed to hear it because that's that childish stance that we've grown up with all our lives of what we are, what we can do, and what we can't do. And that's in many, many the various works of life, on your job, in your relationship, it's there. There's always somebody telling you you can't or undermining you, thinking that you can't. Those type of people I love. I love them because what they do is keep me on top of my game and it helps my growth because I'm going to let
you're gonna
know.
You're going to prove them wrong. Because you're going to prove
always.
Them wrong.
I believe in the persons that tell you no. You should show them why they should have said yes. You don't have to open your mouth. You just stay on your format. I'm going to share this with you. You know, we was traveling around, and them airports was crazy, and it was crazy out there. So, you know, my nieces, they always surprise me. I never know where I'm going to end up. Okay, I never know. It just goes. So we're down, and we're trying to get back, and they were saying, oh, my gosh. The flights are canceled. It's going to be some delays. I said, it's not going to be any delays. I said, because I'm getting back to L.A. When you look at TV and see me sitting in that cockpit of that plane with that hat tucked to the side, in that captain's seat, that plane is going up. I might be crisscrossing all the runways, but it's going up and it's coming down. I do not care if I don't understand how to operate. The landing gear, we can do a belly flop, but we getting on that plane and we're getting up out of here with no delays and no cancellations, and we travel like silk, okay? That was my attitude. I couldn't feed into what I was saying. I'm not going to send my luggage. No, I'm putting my luggage on that plane, and it's not going to get lost, okay? So we're back here. And my nieces were saying, Auntie, we don't understand. You just call it and it happened. I say, you can do the same thing. It might not happen exactly the way that you want it to happen, but you must have that. What you say, the word faith, you can look at it as a religious factor or however, but you cannot have any doubt. Doubt ruins everything. Do not doubt yourself and do not doubt anything that you're trying to do. And that's my last words for today. Professor Bird, we love you.
Thank
we
you.
We know we can preach over here. We will be speaking. I will be connecting in with you and get this out. And our next topic is going to be allowing yourself to be the best you can be is an honorable feeling. Is that the way we're going?
I'm not quite sure. Let me bake it some more, and I'll get back with you.
You know me.
I'm not quite bugging
sure. You. I'm trying to travel around. I cannot wait to come and visit those ducks out there in beautiful Arkansas.
And ditto, girl. My friends have been sending me pictures, and my son, too, of that snow in the San Bernardino Mountains, and I miss Southern California so bad this time of year.
Yes.
I used to go up there and hike in those mountains in the snow, and my friends are – in fact, I don't know if you heard my cell phone ding in the background, but – my girlfriend is riding her bike, and she sent a picture off the bike trail where you can see the snow-capped mountains in the background. And I'm like, oh man,
but you're
doing there.
I know, but you're doing. I look at your postings. I know you're very active in the community, the speeches, the organizations. I cannot wait to get there and visit. It's time for me to move. I said I want to go to France and drink champagne up under the Eiffel Tower. And I don't want to have on too many clothes. So that's what's feeding me. I want to do it naked. Okay, I don't know if it'll be allowed, but that's just one of my goals out there. You know, I just want to do what I do. So I have to set things
bucket
up like that in order to push me. That's my little humor that I use from in and out. But I appreciate you. We love you. I want to say it's new beginnings. Happy 2023. You and me out here, we carry on. This is moving into the third segment. We started this segment when the pandemic started, even though the show started back in 2013. We're not new at this. We sort of like switched it up, and we will continue to switch it up and care and share in the best manner that we can. Those out there that are saying it should this and it should that, we don't listen to that. What we want to bring through our hearts. You don't dictate here, okay? Because we're out
Alrighty.
Here to share and care. I love you, listeners.
Same.
Professor Karen Berg, life coach, and website is KarenBerg.com. Go to it. Listen, read her blogs. Listen to her words. Listen to her stories. Pay attention.
Thank you.
And you will become happier and a better, better you. And on that note, Professor Berg, I want to tell you to tell the ducks out there what we feel, what we're coming to see, and I'm looking forward to coming out there and joining you my ducks.
Welcome.
So give us one word. Give us one word before you go. Just one.
Blessings.
Hey, I kind of like that. Blessings in any way that you want to take it. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you so much.
Love you too. Bye, Linda.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your day.
She said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for the truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. I was a pretty young girl once. I had dreams, I had high hopes. Married a man, he stole my heart away. Gave his love, but what a high price to pay. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. Why was I such a young fool? Thought I'd make history, making babies was the best I could do. Thought I made something could be mine forever. Thought of the hard way, one can't possess another. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. With all that you have is your soul.
why don't you say it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.
Yeah.